Book of 2 Kings, chapter number 6. You love the Lord tonight, say amen.
Amen.
The Lord's here tonight. God knew everybody that was going to be here before you got here. I believe God has a word for us, and I enjoy singing. I enjoy singing. I sing all night long. But God chose the foolishness of preaching. And those of you that live around here and got an hour drive home, I know you think it's late. We've been in here a while, and I know that. Some of these drove 5 or 6 hours to hear the word of God. Second Kings, chapter number 6. The word of God says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us," meaning it's too small. The place they were living wasn't big enough for all of them. "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. And let us make a place there where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Brother Rick Cope, right where you are, pray out loud, "God help us tonight. Oh God."
We ask you, Lord, even now that the Holy Ghost of God would pierce the heart of each and every life in this building. I pray you take your servant, God, empty him out, God, and fill him with fresh oil today. Thank you, Lord, for this hour before Jesus comes, God, that we can have this wonderful opportunity to help your servant, and we'll lift him tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Inside this chapter, the Word of God says here that Elisha is the man of God. Elijah has passed off the scene. Last time we talked about Elijah and how he wanted and chased after the power of God and the mantle that rested upon Elijah. Now, Elisha is the man of God, and Elisha has a couple preacher boys, and the place where they was dwelling was too small for that group of boys. And the Word of God says that the sons of the prophets looked at Elisha and said, "It's too small for us. Elisha, will you allow us to go down and dig us a bigger place so that we can all dwell there?" Elisha gave him permission and went down there. And the Word of God said that as those boys went down to Jordan River and down into Jordan, that they begin to cut down the lumber. They begin to cut down the wood with the axes. And the Word of God says that one of those boys, while they were cutting down those trees and making the lumber for the job, that one of those boys, as he reached back to cut the wood, that the axe head fell off and went into the water. The Bible says that he looked at Elisha and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." He was saying, "It's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. It's just borrowed. Somebody just allowed me to use it for just a little while." And Elisha looks at those boys that day and said, "Take me to the place. Take me to where you lost it. Take me to where you last had the axe head." And he took him in to the spot where the axe head fell inside of the water. Now y'all know, y'all go throw an axe head in the middle of the river down the road and it's pretty much gone. It's never to be found again. An axe head would not only sink to the bottom, but it's so heavy it would sink up under the mud. But the word of God says that Elisha cut down a stick and threw the stick on top of the water, and the iron. Now this ain't a storybook. This ain't just a fictional story. But your King James Bible said that when he threw the stick on top of the water, that the iron swam to the top of the water. And boy, could you see that son of the prophet as he looked. And Elisha said, I thought you said you lost Jack's head. He said, I thought it did too. He said, ain't that it floating on top of the water? And the son of the prophet said, I think so. And the Bible says that he reached down and had to take up the axe head and put it back on. And as I read that story, as I begin to study it out, I begin to think about the axe head and what does the axe head stand for and what is God trying to teach us through the Word of God. Know this, the Word of God is not just a history book. It's not just a book that has cool little cute stories inside the Word of God. But the Word of God is a book of application. The Word of God is a book that teaches us and shows us what God can do. And I believe as I studied the axe head here is a type and a picture of the power of God. It is a picture of the anointing that God puts on a man's life. It is a picture of the power of God and the Holy Ghost that rests upon the life of a man of God. And as these boys noticed this, as they were cutting down those trees, it was not the strength of a man that was cutting down the tree. It was not the axe handle that was cutting down the tree. It was the axe head what got the job done. It was the axe head is what got the job done. And after the axe head is gone, there is no ability to get the job done anymore. And boy, I begin to think about Christians today, my life and yours. Brother Wes, I know what it's like to get up and sing and have the anointing and the power of God to rest upon it. But I also know more times than that probably what it's like to get behind a pulpit and stand in my own strength and stand in my own power and feel like nothing is getting accomplished. Help me out right here, brother, just a little bit. I know what it's like to feel empty and void and feel like God is 1,000 miles away. And instead of holding an axe head, I try to get the job done with no power, no authority, and no strength. Tell me this, how much wood are you going to cut without an axe head on your axe handle? Yet Christians every single day are operating with the things of God just like this. They're trying to work for God with no power. The churches in America are operating with no power. The churches in America are operating with no power, no Holy Ghost. Things like this would scare them to death. Hey, and we'll blame America. We'll look at the government and say, look where the nation's at. But I got good news for you. The reason that the nation is where she's at is because the churches started operating without an axe head, and now there's no power of God in our church, there's no power of God in our nation, and our world is going to hell because somebody lost the axe head. Our churches are empty, our altars are barren, people aren't getting saved no more. People don't want to come to church no more, and preachers bow breed them. But the truth is, if I had to go to that church, I probably wouldn't go either, because it's so dead and so dry and so stale. There's no power, there's no Holy Ghost, there's no godly singing. God help us to go back and pick up the axe and do something for God. Hey, teenager. Hey, teenager, why is it when you go to youth camp, by about the third day, you just worship and tears flow in the power of God so real? Why is it that everything's well then, but then 2 or 3 months after camp, the preacher can't even find you in a church service? Why is it after Jubilee everything's well, but our tendency is to lose the power of God and to lose the axe head and operate in this? I thought about this. Preachers, as we know it, are some of the meanest people in the world. The greatest enemies I've ever had is not the world. It's not Budweiser. It's not the Democrats or Republicans. It's other preachers. And here's what I thought. What if we all went out in the woods in a little bit and we started cutting down trees and me and Wes had a sure enough axe and we was cutting stuff down and y'all had one of these and y'all was trying to beat down a tree like this and over there the other boys are getting the job done with the axe and instead of y'all going to get an axe head and getting the power of God on your life, all they do is make fun of somebody that'll pay the price and stick with the stuff and operate in the power of God. If they'd go get a fresh axe, they wouldn't have enough time to sit around and talk about other preachers. Well, if I was doing it, I'd probably done something different. Why don't you go get your axe head and get busy for God? Quit talking about everybody else. Lost the axe head. All right, preacher, you're right, preacher. It's been a while since I felt God move on my heart. It's been a while since I sat in a meeting like this and the power of God was so real and so strong and tears flowed. You got to preach. The axe head is missing. What do I do now? Number one, you got to remember where you lost it. Remember where you lost it. Word of God says that he looked at Elisha and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." What'd the preacher say? He said, "Take me to the place." Number one, you got to learn to tell the truth. You got to learn to tell the truth. Teenagers today are the best in the world at trying to hide and trying to complain and feel like that nobody knows what they're doing. They'll say something like this, "Well, I'm not convicted by that. Well, that don't bother me. Well, I feel like I can do that. That don't convict my spirit." And the axe head's gone. Everybody else can see you're miserable except yourself, and you don't have an axe head. But the very first step in getting your axe head back is you got to learn to tell the truth and recognize, yes, I may have went the wrong way. I may have some sin in my life. I may have done something that made God take the power off of my life. Not only do you got to tell the truth, but you got to take a trip. Take a trip to where you found it. You know where you left it. You know where you was. Becky, my wife, where's she at? She is the worst at the world. 34 times a day, she says, "Where's my phone at? I can't find my phone nowhere." And I'll say, "Woman, if you ask me where your phone is again, I'm going to glue it to the side of your head." But what's the first process when you lose something? Your mind instantly goes back and thinks about the last place you had it. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you had the power of God in your life? When was the last time that you felt the Holy Ghost of God digging inside your spirit and doing something in a powerful way? I got news for you. If you left your axe head in your Bible reading, you'll find it in your Bible reading. If you lost your axe head when you quit worshiping, you'll find your axe head when you start worshiping again. If you lost your axe head when you quit witnessing, you'll find your axe head when you start witnessing again. All you got to do is go back to where you had it the last time. Take me to the place. Where did you have it at last? Me and Becky first got married. Everything's wonderful. Everything's well. In that first year of marriage, and we was talking to Brother Sammy, Daddy, last night about this. He's giving us some marriage counseling. that first year, wonderful, ain't it? And Preacher Brown, he was always a stickler for me being on time. He said, "If you're not early, you're late." That's what he'd tell me. I was working at the church at the time, doing everything, cleaning toilets and vacuuming carpets and doing everything he wanted me to do. And Becky, we first got married, and she's a beautician, and every hair is just perfectly laid in place. And boy, just pretty as they ever can get. But I found this out. You can't get a hairdo that's that pretty done in 5 minutes. Can I get a witness, ladies? But boy, she'll be over there in that house, We was living in that little church trailer there beside the camp meeting grounds, the church owned before us, and we sitting there, and boy, it's 30 minutes till church time. Becky's in there frizzing that hair up in the front. Boy, then she gets that hairspray stuff out and reload. I mean, ungodly amounts of hairspray. And the whole time, I'm watching my watch, you know, doing everything I can. And I've been doing real good. I was like, okay, in the name of Jesus, honey, please. The preacher's going to beat me. And please, please, honey, we've got to go. We've got to go down to church. Preacher's going to be so mad at me. Becky, you got to listen. And at first, okay, I'm on time. Okay, I'm hurrying. But then something happened. The demons of hell came inside our house. And before I knew it, I realized it's 5:00, and I realized I was going to be late, and I realized the preacher's going to jump all over me, and my little cute little Baptist tone done changed to, woman, if you don't get you in the car, I'm going to tell you, you know how it is. Y'all was that way before you come to church. Now, well, I was just reading, you and boy, Becky, little me, cold Becky, she started firing right back at me. You don't talk to me like that. I'll move back in with my mama in a heartbeat. You better tell, I'm telling you. I love you, but I don't like you very much right now. And boy, we got in the cars. We headed up there and got to church right after the congregation singing. She walked up to her side. I'll never forget. We got out of the car, started walking in the church. She ain't talking to me. I ain't talking to her. And we walk in. The front greeters are there. I said, how you doing, brethren? Good to see you in the house of God. What Becky done put her little church smile on. I mean, wicked as the devil. And we're walking through acting like everything's fine. Shaking everybody's hands. Carpet's still there. Right here. Some man back there, his wife beating him already. You better not say amen. And Becky walked up her side of the choir. I walked up my side of the choir. Everything's all right. Preacher Brown turns around and says, see, Tim, Becky, y'all come sing us a song. Lord, my head hurts, my stomach hurts, can't find my cigarettes. Say amen. I said, how in the world? How am I expected to sing a song? And I'm out of fellowship. She don't care because she ain't got to do. Why is it wives do that? They know I'm the one that's got to preach. And if anybody's going to apologize, it's going to have to be me. So the preacher said, and boy, I was dreading it. I walked down them stairs and I walked down. I said, oh, Lord, this ain't going to be good. God ain't going to be in 100 miles of this thing. Oh, Lord. And I stand there. I'm sitting there and all of a sudden, Holy Ghost starts dealing with my heart. There's lost people out there. I want to use you. But you don't have your axe head right now. Your axe head's missing, and I can't bless it if you do it without your axe head. So you just go ahead and make the decision now whether you want to do it with me or without me, because right now you can't do it with me. I looked out there. Boy, God broke my heart in half. I reached over to my wife. And I said, Becky, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have been like that. And boy, she started crying and she hugged me. They still praying, doing an introduction service. And me and Becky's having our own little church service right there on the stage. She said, I love you so much. I said, I love you too. Baby. I'd kiss you right now if you wasn't so far away. And I stepped back. Becky started singing. And from the first note of the song, people just started popping up. People started working on the altar, and God just breathed on it. The power of God fell. And as I sat back, all I could think of was the Lord saying, see what I can do. If you lay that down, lose your pride. Lose your arrogance. Lose your being right. And just operate with an axe head. You got to take a trip sometimes. I've had to call people that I have said things about and make things right, as hard as it was to go against my pride to do it. At times when I felt like I was the one that was right in the area. But God is not concerned with who is right or who is wrong. God is concerned that we're right. And I know y'all going to get quiet right here. But Jesus said, a boy brought a gift to Jesus. And Jesus said, go ahead and leave your gift there. Go fix things with your brother and then come back and I'll receive your gift. Because many people are operating without an axe head, not because they've done something majorly wrong, but if you're out with your brethren, you're out with God. And I got a fear that the reason we don't see revival anymore and the reason we don't experience the power of God like we used to, it ain't got a thing to do with God, but it's got everything to do with us. We worship everything except Jesus. We worship preachers. We worship worship. We worship everything in this world except God. And somewhere along the line, we lost our axe head. Let me ask you a question. Where'd you leave it? Where'd you leave it? Where'd you leave it? Not only do you got to remember where you lost it, but let me read this. You got to resurrect what is lacking. Iron floating. I want you to notice the impossibility of this. Iron does not swim. And you know what the devil's telling some of y'all? Oh, you've lost your axe head. You'll never get it back. You've done too much. It is impossible for you to have the power of God on you like you did when you was a teenager. There's some adults in here, you look and you envy at these young people because you remember when it was you and you remember when the power of God used to breathe over your life in power and authority and something's come between you and God and now you think, will I ever get to experience the power of God like that again? And the devil will come sit right beside you and say, it's all over with. You don't have to worry about this or worry about that. It's at the bottom. You'll never experience the power of God anymore. Not just the impossibility. Notice the inspiration of the iron head. Word of God says that Elisha cut down a stick and he threw it over top of the water where the iron was. And there was something in that stick. There's something in that wood that made that which had sunk to the bottom rise to the top. See that old cross up there? It's just a piece of wood. The Word of God says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you put the cross over top of that sunken and drowned axe head, the Word of God says that when that stick got over top, that the iron did swim. And it don't matter where you was, and it don't matter what you did, it don't matter how bad the sin, the Baptist may not forgive you, your brothers may not forgive you, your daddy may not forgive you, but I'm glad there's a God tonight that the cross of Jesus Christ was shed for every sin, it was shed for all sin, and the cross of Jesus Christ is a message of forgiveness tonight. I don't care where you been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many people you've been with. I don't care how many kids you got. If you ask Jesus to forgive your sin, I'm glad He'll wash away every sin you ever committed. That cross is a three-dimensional cross. It has three different sides. It has a backside that covered every sin I ever committed. It has a middle side that covers every sin I'll do today. And I thank God it had a front side that every sin I'll ever commit is already taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. I know what it's like, Brother Tommy, to sit in a service and me be empty and the people beside me be weeping and worshiping and having God dripping all over them. But me sitting there as a teenager many times and sitting there and the devil say, yeah, that God loves you a lot, don't He? Look, He's helping them and them and you're empty. And the devil said, yeah, you done too much. You'll never experience the power of God again now. God don't love you. God, you'll never have the power of God on your life. But I'm so glad a preacher come by one day and told me that if I'd asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins, and I asked Jesus to wash me white as snow, and I asked Jesus to cleanse my heart, I'm telling you, Jesus will wash away the stain, and that iron that's at the bottom can swim again. Let me ask you a question. What's that sin in your life tonight that is so terrible that Jesus can't forgive you of it? What's that thing that's in your life that is so wretched that you really feel like that God can't wipe it white as snow again? I'm telling you, there's no sin that Jesus can't forgive. Remember where you lost it. Resurrect what is lacking. And look, lastly, go ahead and play something, Brother Jesse. Retrieve what is lifted. Retrieve what is lifted. Word of God says that that axe head is now on top of the water. He's got things right, everything's clear, everything's clean. But notice Elisha didn't reach down and get it for him. That son of the prophet had to get down low and get the axe head and retrieve it. Ain't nobody gonna give you an axe head. Your mama can't do it for you. Your daddy can't do it for you. Your preacher can't do it for you. God put this meeting together because He wants every single one of us to have our axe head in place. He wants mamas to have an axe head. He wants young boys to have an axe head, meaning you can go to school and be effective in reaching those around you. He wants young girls to not operate in the flesh, but operate in the power of God. He wants preachers to, this is a youth meeting, but God don't really listen to titles. God wants every preacher tomorrow and not get up with your little sermon off the internet, but get up with the power of God on your life. Why? Because this world's going to hell. There's young girls and young boys all over this place. They don't need another little lesson. They don't need another little story. They need to see the Holy Ghost of God in power and in authority. Nearly every night I'll stand at the back door somewhere and shake people's hands. And old timers will come by and they'll say, Brother CT, tears run down. They'll say, that's the way it used to be. Choirs used to sing like that all the time. Just worship and have church like that all the time. Boy, CT, I wish we could have more of that. And it don't have a thing to do with me, and it don't have a thing to do with the churches. It has a whole lot to do with an axe head. My heart's so broke for this generation and this nation. It's going to hell. America was founded upon preachers that came across the water with the power of God on their life. America was founded with old-fashioned tent meetings and old revivals where the power of God changed and formed and founded this nation. I'll stand barefoot and tell you this nation was not founded for Buddha. This nation was not founded for Islam. This nation was not founded for those, but it was founded that for Jesus Christ. Now our nation's in worse shape than it's ever been. Preacher Ray, I'm very humbled. You're a great man of God, and you've seen things that I'll never get to see. I wish I could go back in time and see some of the things that your generation saw. I'm so hungry to have an axe head. Axe heads that Billy Kelly's used to carry around the nation. Axe head that Mays Jackson used to get up and trump this entire nation with the power of God. Revival that would shake for weeks. They say Percy Raid go into a town and the power of God would fall in such a real way. Nobody expected a 3-day meeting. Nobody expected a 5-day meeting. They expected the power of God on that place. Because a man would come to town, not with an agenda, not with a hobby horse, not with some little lecture, not with a little story, but he came to town with the power of God on his life. My question to preachers, my question to teenager, my question to mama, my question to daddy, Billy Kelly's dead. Mace Jackson's dead. Jack Howes is dead. All those great men of God that carried those axes around and did a work for God and took that stuff that was too small and made it bigger. How much longer are we going to operate without the axe head? Tonight, you have a decision to make. You going to keep operating like this? All you're doing is knocking the bark off. You ain't never going to cut nothing down. You ain't never going to be effective. You ain't never going to do nothing for God. All you're doing is beating the bark off the tree. You ain't never going to do nothing like this. Tonight, somebody ought to drop it and do something for the glory of God. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, bow our heads. I know there's not room for everybody on this altar, but you can use your seat. Some of you preachers, come get on this stage. Just lay flat on your face and say, God, I'm tired of operating in my own strength. How many girls? God, I'm tired of not operating with my axe head. God, I'm tired of just being a dull axe. God, I want to do something for the power of God. Oh, God, take me on a trip. God, remind me what I've done wrong. Show me where I faulted. Show me what I've done wrong. God, get me back in that place where I can have the axe head back on my life. Jesse, y'all get something ready to sing. Oh, God, if you're in your seat and can't get out, pray for America. Pray for our churches. Pray for our kids. Pray for our families. Oh, God, send the power again. Send the fire again. God, let revival sweep through this area. God, let it start with me. Don't do it without me. But God, let me have a part. God, sharpen my axe and get me back in place. As they sing,